Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Warning. This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I don't know if you got a chance to see it yesterday. The president put out a fantastic farewell address. I watched, I think it was like 19 minutes and 20 seconds or something, 20 minutes long. Incredible, incredible send-off. And, you know, I wanted to just, I think the first thing that came to my mind, something I thought I would always say to the president is a big thank you. Maybe I'm sorry, but big thank you. What an ungrateful nation, for sure. But let me stick with the topic at hand there. And, you know, for President Trump, you know, whatever imperfections he did or didn't have, you know, for one thing, I think what I admired about him is his tenacity, his willingness to try, the effort, the that he was always doing his best. I mean, the guy's, what, 70 years old or something like that? Up all hours of the night, taking all kinds of shots. And, you know the whole story. We don't need to go round and round with it. But I believe that the man was an inspiration to many people, millions of people in this country who have for years now been reminded of every mistake made over the past hundreds of years, being made to feel less adequate, being made to feel that our country had somehow failed us. And President Trump comes along with a message of hope for many people that I guess were on the receiving end of the negativity. And he brought the fight, right? He brought the fight. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to bring the fight. And he did it. He did it. He was working for free, right? The guy leaves a life. He's a multi-billionaire. Has a very successful life. Beautiful business. Success in TV. He owns Mar-a-Lago. Do you know what Mar-a-Lago? Mar-a-Lago is a private club down there where he lives at. This has like always been a dream of mine to like own a resort I could live at. Because you've got the resort, you know, everybody else is paying for your permanent vacation, right? Fantastic, fantastic setup, I think. And he goes down there. He's got the golf and the beautiful weather in Florida. And I think he'll do quite well. You know, he'll have the security from the Secret Service. He'll have access to, there's other resources that former presidents have as well. And he'll have access to all that. And we'll see what he can make of all that, what he does with all that, if anything. I don't know what I would do if I were him. What would you say? I don't know. I think I might just say, you know what, guys, I'm going to take a little break for a while. But I thought it was important, with everything that's gone on, to just say a proper thank you, President Trump. Thank you, President Trump, for everything you did, everything you sacrificed, all the hits you took, all the abuse you took. Thank you for everything that you did for this country. Thank you for all the effort that you put into it. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned from Trump, President Trump. What to do, what not to do, what could be better, what could be different. And I think he's a pioneer in a sense, you know, forging a path of the rebirth of this nation and what it's going to look like. And he has set the tone. A lot was accomplished, you know, the radicals, socialists, they put him on their heels. And I don't think they fully realize that they still are. Which brings up the big question that I think that's on everybody's mind, probably Democrats and Republicans, and that is where do we go from here, right? Where does the country go from? Oh, we need healing. We need Biden was wearing purple masks. Well, hey, look, you know, the messaging is on point. You know, they're trying, but I think that they so poisoned the waters, they're going to have a very, very difficult time getting any support from Republicans. I really do. We'll get more into the political side, but let me get through this first part, what I wanted to talk about. I'll get into the where do we go from here, kind of pick up from where we left off yesterday a little bit, but... I think there's some big lessons that come out of this. I'm going to talk more about this when we get into the politics side, but just sticking on the philosophical human side, I think one of the lessons we learned is that divisiveness doesn't create unity. Attacking your enemies doesn't create peace, doesn't create unity. You know, it was an approach that the president took. I don't know what he was hoping looking back on it with the personal beratement and attacks on people. I don't know if that was the showman side of him, ego side of him. I mean, he had to realize what he was doing, have some self-control. And we loved it. I mean, in all fairness, right? We ate it up when it was going on. But looking back on it, you know, was it really a wise tactic? I don't believe that it was. And it's not an approach I would take. Entertaining, perhaps. Effective? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think especially in government, in other areas, but especially in government, you got to be very careful how many enemies you build up at any one time. People have a hard time understanding that concept. You know, you look at Trump, the hatred for him really wasn't the things that he did. It was the things that he said, that hatred built. And he played it. He knew what he was doing. He was a big boy, and there was consequences to it, you know, on some level, whether or not it took the election. I get into all that, too, but anyway, the other thing is I want to make a point in terms of the lessons learned, okay? So I'm kind of, you know, being a little bit critical of the Trump, not a little bit. I am being critical of the Trump approach there in that regard. But the other thing in terms of lessons learned to go the other way, the hatred that he exposed from some people that I know. You know, I didn't like Obama at all. I guess you could say I hated him. I never really thought about it that way. I couldn't stand the guy. Let me use a better example. You know, Rachel Maddow. I can't stand that lady. There's others. I'm just pulling that out by way of example. But I don't hate these people. I don't wish them any harm. I wish they'd shut up, but I don't wish them any harm. And I certainly am not willing to sacrifice my own success or life or the country's to get back at them. That's a very dangerous character flaw of the nation, that people are able on a mass scale to generate that level of hatred, focus it on one man, and spread that hatred to anybody who supports him. Man, people have less anger towards Hitler, and there's Nazis today. Oh yeah, there's another freedom that you have, believe it or not. Yes, you are free to be a Nazi, like you're free to be a socialist, like Bernie Sanders. These are the freedoms that we have in this country. Crazy thing, isn't it? But this hatred that was exposed in this country, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, it concerns me. Even now, it's like, okay, I guess the hatred is quieted down. I'm not so sure it has. I mean, I don't see a lot of celebration going on with Biden going into office, do you? It's almost like, where's the next target of this hatred? Where's the next target of this anger? What's it going to be? Cops? We went through that. Is it going to be the military? What's it going to be? Who's it going to be? The poor souls, right? This mob mentality. Or is it all going to just... evaporate and go away. Well, time is going to tell. It's going to be an interesting time with all that. We'll see what the news actually reports. Biden's got the purple mask, and then we're going to heal and unity. How long before these Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and radical liberals that were dancing in the streets, or whatever you want to call it, peaceful protests, how long before they realize that Biden and the Democrats made a bunch of promises that they're not going to keep? They're going, Biden, I guess, is jumping right to immigration. See, that's a freebie. That doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost anything to open. Doesn't cost the government anything. Cost us something, but not the government. Yeah, open up those borders. Why not? I'll tell you, I could use some cheap immigrant labor. I'm tired of working around the house. You know, there's a good old days when you just go hire some, what do we call them? Undocumented. I don't. What's the proper word today? We should get these, politically correct terms. Forgive me. What is it? I don't know. Any other human being? I don't know. Anybody who wants to work cheap. I don't want to be too pushy about the whole thing. I'm just looking to save a couple of bucks, really. I'm being sarcastic. Matter of fact, I was talking about yesterday, where's my son's student loan payoffs? And I was being sarcastic about that. You know, here's my position on this with the Democrats. And I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of thinking out loud with this. It's early here, but, I think what Republicans should do is remain silent, quiet. No, I think they should every week remind America of the promises that Democrats made and get them in there, get them on the floor. All at one time, as a matter of fact. Free college, paying off everybody's college loans, free health care, free guaranteed basic income. Look, it was right in the debates. We can have it on camera. It's on video. Kamala Harris, yes, 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 everything's yes. You remember how enthusiastic they were about it? Get it all on the plate in one bill, the very next spending bill. We were told we were going to get $1,000 a month, free solar panels. You didn't have to work if you didn't want to, right? They're talking about this minimum wage thing, and I got to tell you, it's really pissing me off. They said we wouldn't have to work. What is the point of opening up the borders, borrowing all this money if we're going to have to work? Look, I'm being half sarcastic to you. What do you want to do? What are they going to keep playing these games? It was all a big lie. So I don't know. Look, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope nothing happens. I'm wondering these people that they got riled up thinking that they're getting all this social change. Yeah, wait until the reality sinks in. I don't know, but that's what I think. And, you know, listen, this is the reality. Biden's out there wearing purple, and everybody's going to forget about the Democrat debates. Who remembers besides people like me? Do you remember what happened in the debates? No, probably. Maybe some of you remember little pieces. And who puts it all together? I can't remember half of it all the time. Yeah, they were sitting there promising everything. They did it right there on TV. Anything it took to take down this president. Well, now he's gone. I don't know. What do they have to offer now? They played their hand. It's just so, you know, the midterms will be coming up. Don't get too excited about that, right? Because there's really not a lot of good Republicans running. You got some new freshmen down there now that the news will focus on all that. They'll be running them out. I don't see that lasting too long. We'll see what happens. But I intend to remind the liberals what they promised. They were willing to do whatever it took to get rid of Trump. They did it. And there you have it. And you know what? I think right now, Republicans should start gearing up, printing ballots for the next election, and demanding that we have drop-off centers. You'll see, you know, pretty soon we're going to have an election with about 700 million ballots, and we're wondering what happened. Bring it all back full circle. No surrender, no prisoners. What do you mean no guaranteed basic income? What the hell are you talking about? Where's the new Green Deal? Nobody's even talking about it. Where's Ocasio-Cortez? We've all been lied to. The sooner the Democrats wake up and realize that, the better off we'll all be. But it's not just the Democrats. It's many of you as well, many of us, fooled by Republicans, that our hope was in the Republican Party. There was a strategic mistake made by Trump I want to get into, I believe, in all this. And I think it's a big deal. Remember I said that. It'll make a little more sense when I get into this. What are some of the headlines here? I don't want to get too much into it. Texas and Florida turn into business hubs. Okay. UK competitions. I'm not sure what that means. UK competitions watchdog launches an investigation into the algorithms used by Amazon, Facebook, and Google amid fears they are manipulating lives. I was thinking, obviously this is an issue I've talked about, the algorithms, they're concerned about the algorithms. I've been bringing it up for a long time, the secret algorithms, why are they secret? They aren't really. The people that know how to manipulate them are messing with your mind. Why is it allowed to go on? We got to get off the computers. The screen time, the social media, it's all become very toxic to the point where I know it sounds dramatic, but I definitely feel that it's a public health threat in this country. I've been saying that for a long time. Far worse than COVID, in my opinion. And not to take, anything away from any other disease or what have you, but it's a serious, serious problem. It's affecting the elections. It's affecting people's mental health. It's crazy that it continues. Why? Why is it even, and they say, well, it's for advertising. It doesn't have to happen. It's not helping them with advertising. You're just messing with people. It's a horrible social experiment. 30 mayors pushing for guaranteed income. I wonder who they are. Good. Keep pushing for it. Keep reminding them. Be interesting to see what happens. Cinderella story for a dog. Joe's shelter pet gives adoption trend boost. Isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? Joe's dog. We never got any articles like this about the Trump. Never a nice article. Well, that's because he was a liar and a racist. And we know the whole story, right? Marijuana abuse by youth linked to suicide attempts. Another issue I've talked about. Marijuana does not have the same effect on everybody, nor does any other drug. Vaccine shortage puts Americans on the road in search of shots. They can't get rid of them. There's no shortage. I don't know. Who cares? Amazon offers the help. Great. Did shutting outdoor dining contribute to California's surge? They don't know what the hell they're doing. All this science-based. I was talking to somebody here locally. They opened up all the schools. Schools are back. Cases are sky high. Now, I'm happy they opened up. You've heard me complaining about the schools being closed. They kept telling us we couldn't open them before the election because we got to follow the science. So now cases are sky high and they're opening up, and here we are. They didn't open them up after the election as predicted because it was contested, right? But as soon as things were cleared up, magically the schools opened. Well, no, it wasn't political at all, science-based. So I asked, I said, how can that be with the cases going up? You guys kept saying science-based. He said, well, no, it was from pressure from the parents. They wanted the schools open. I said, well, wait a minute. Why weren't the parents asked in the beginning? You said it was science-based. Now you're telling me, well, what if enough people pressure them? And it is if enough people pressure them. Why do you think I keep talking about people waking up and speaking up? Science-based. Yeah, the science of how many people aren't going to vote for them. The hell out of here. I'm so tired of the double talk and the lies and people talking about stuff they have no idea what they're talking about. IRS may have paid $57 million in error for Trump tax break. The Tax Cuts and Job Act signed by President Trump in 2017 gives certain business owners a 20% tax deduction. The qualified business income deduction is available to pass-through entities. The IRS allowed them to claim and potentially Well, I wonder, erroneous stuff. I wonder if they're going to go back after it, probably, if that's what the statute said. Now, interestingly, by the way, Gavin Newsom is in big trouble out there in California. It's awesome to throw him out. And I wonder very much if COVID didn't have a big impact on people's discontent for government in general and didn't circle back to have a big impact on Trump. I don't know. It's hard to say. We don't know if the election results are reliable, and if they aren't, how do you really get any good information out of it? There's a couple of emails that I want to get to. Thank you, everybody. I'd still like to know, for those of you that haven't answered, would you support the idea of a third party? You can answer me at ChristopherScottShow.com. You can leave a message right there on the homepage. Comes into an app on my phone. I get back to you. I really enjoy the communication with the listeners. I've gotten some incredibly rich material over the past. It's been coming in. I asked everybody to please respond, and I got what I asked for. I was ready. I had carved out time, but thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed all the emails and the feedback. Very supportive. Very supportive of a third-party idea. Right? I said that the election's over with. The question now is, where do we go from here? And I think it's clear to a lot of people, and there are issues. I'll get to the dissenters. Don't worry. You'll have your voice here as well, for good reason. But it's clear to a lot of people that this two-party system has failed us and that the time is now for a third party. Why? Why would a third party be necessary? I think people instinctively know that it's the answer to rooting out corruption, to restoring a basic level of fairness, and managing the country properly. I mean, we need a new approach, right? This is why Hope and Change and MAGA were so powerful. People know it. There's new approaches needed. They're just confused. We need to restore confidence. We need to do that through term limits and election reform, that we can bring back confidence in a properly functioning government. And there's no incentive for the political establishment to make these changes. You think that they're going to come in? You know, they're making millions of dollars. You go talk to Paul Ryan about term limits. You tell me what he says. Go talk to Ocasio-Cortez. Remember, she's going to know I'm going to be able to afford my rent. Yeah, go ask her now if she'd support term limits. We have to make these changes in order to preserve this country before they destroy it. They're going to tear it up. They could care less. And, you know, it's always been the same way. Good Americans recognizing what this country stands for, what it means, standing up, speaking up, and doing the work to build a better future for this country. And I'm not just talking about a flag here. I'm not talking about colors, red, white, and blue. Everything has meaning, and I get the meaning. But if you step back from that, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of freedom for people around the world. They come here, right? Many of them putting their lives at risk to come here. Why? Well, it's the same reason that many veterans served, and 1.3 million of them gave their lives to defend it. Why? You know, around the world, this country has made incredible contributions, not without mistakes, but not nearly enough mistakes to take away from the freedom we've restored, the freedom we've gained, and the freedom that we've defended. And that's why it's not just a flag. That's why this country is a symbol of freedom for people around the world, freedom and opportunity. We all want the same basic things, to think, speak, and decide for ourselves without government. We don't want government in our bedrooms. As a matter of fact, we don't want government in the house at all. We don't want government in our private business. Nobody does. They may want it in somebody else's business. Nobody wants it in their own business. We've gone from common sense to complete nonsense, and we need to get back to common sense. And that's a big part of what this country has always been about, simple common sense. And you know what? That simple common sense, it's created opportunities like no other in history. Do you realize the modern inventions and industries that originated in the United States? automobiles, airplanes, trains, computers, the internet, not to mention things like plastic and so much more. So much more. It's endless. All originated here and spread around the world, improving people's lives on every corner of the earth. Rammstein, you heard the German band, it's a heavy metal band. They have a song, America, I forget the full title. Everywhere you go around the world, you'll see logos, things that came from America, even in Cuba, even in North Korea. They take the labels off the Coke to conceal, but they still have it. It's still what they want, American products. I've been to Japan. It's been many years now. And you go there and you think, oh, I don't know if they're going to like America. A little hesitant. I don't know if they like Americans, you know, the war. They love Americans. They look up to us. They envy us. Why? Because we have a system that has allowed the opportunity for people to be the best version of themselves. And I don't know about you, but it feels like we're under attack. And it's going to take some courage, and it's going to take some cooperation. And I'll tell you, I think it would be a good idea that maybe we get started right now. And I'm asking you, would you please respond to me at ChristopherScottShow.com? Would you entertain the idea, or would you support a new party? And I want to go through some of the details of it, but I'd like to know what you have to say. A party that puts this country and the people of this country first. You know, to come into office as a new president, and the very first thing on the agenda is protecting immigrants, I think says a lot about what the political establishment thinks of American citizens. And yeah, they fooled a lot of people, I know, that everybody else, you got to help the poor people, they got to know where to go. And I'm not saying that some of that doesn't happen, it does. But everybody's got a sob, there's a sob story everywhere. And we should be helping people, I don't discount that. We should be helping people here. And to take on immigration now? You're going to bring people into the country now during the pandemic. Where's the science to support that? Can you tell me? So here's what I think I'm going to attempt to do. And I've bitten off a lot more than I can chew this year. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was out walking yesterday and I said, boy, I certainly have brought the weight of the world on my shoulders here. Something I didn't ask for. But what I do with the podcast has always been guided by my conscience. And I could go deeper into that, but I'm not going to, some of you know what I'm talking about. And I have to be guided by that. And I told you, this has been in a file for a while. Every time I worked on it, it was not yet. And there was a piece missing. Sometime I'll tell you the whole story, not right now. And suddenly the piece came clear to me. And that's what I will talk to you about today. But I think when I say we need a bold approach, a different approach, really, I think we need to bring back an old approach. You know, things were very much the same back in the Revolutionary War. You've heard me talk about it if you've been listening to the podcast. In 1776, during the Revolutionary War, many, 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 many people here did not support independence from Britain. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. It's going to sound hilarious. But there were people here, colonists, in this great big country with all these resources, right? We're energy independent now, untold coastlines, fresh water, Great Lakes. I mean, it's endless, right? Salt mines, gold mines, oil, farmland, nothing you can want for in this country. And here were the colonists. They were afraid. They were afraid to be independent of Britain, of England, because they didn't think they could survive. They could go on their own. They thought it was a bad idea to break free of the support of England. I mean, think about this. This great big country with all these resources, we look at it what it is today, and the people were afraid because they felt that a little tiny island 3,000 miles away, this is when they had sailboats, was somehow going to come to their rescue, that was the only way they could survive. And they paid unbearable taxes and got crapped on, and yet they still supported it. Interesting, right? They still clung to that. They still clung to that status quo. Hard to break free of the king. Sometimes there were good kings, many times not. As Thomas Paine called him, the royal brute. Real tough guy. And when government has unrestricted power, have we seen with governors who have taken that, supported by the courts and many others because of their hatred for Trump, and we see how draconian life can become. Locked down. Nursing homes locked down. Did you hear that? Biden's going to appoint the Pennsylvania health director or whatever, the transgender guy, girl, whatever he is now. And I think you could make the case that he's responsible for the murder of many people. And now he's taking on more responsibility. Amazing. But listen, Thomas Paine, what's important is he faced similar opposition that we have right now, is my point. A bitterly, bitterly, bitterly divided country. People that were afraid to break free of norms that they knew were disgustingly horrible, but couldn't even see through that enough to realize that there was a better way. And Thomas Paine, he wasn't a star. Nobody knew who he was. He wasn't a world leader. He wasn't a billionaire. He wasn't a reality TV host. He wasn't an influencer. He didn't have a YouTube channel. None of this. So he had to be humble, right? And he was. And he made this convincing argument. And he gave it away. Gave it away. Ben Franklin, printing, whatever he was printing at the time. Lots of people, because they cared about the country and they wanted to make it better. There was this sense of ownership, this civic responsibility to give back to the country, right? And that to some, that means helping pick up litter on the side of the highways. To others, it means volunteering at a hospital. To others, it means, you know, leading in political planning or whatever the case might be. But we have an obligation to do something. This is a country worth preserving. You say, what do I have an obligation? I could shrug it off. I've already served my country. What do I owe this country? Nothing. But do you have to do it? Not if you want to. Why would you not want to? Why would you not want to preserve this country? All that it's done, the gifts that it's given us, we have nothing to want for, despite our problems, still the best place on the planet. Still, where are you going to go? We're not going to preserve it. We're going to flush it down the toilet. Why? All that was done to build this and get this to this point, to last this long. But I want to put together, on some level, a book. I want to put together a book that I, too, can give away. A new common sense, if you will. Not to provide a solution to all of our problems, because that's not me. And that's no one person, but the foundation of a solution, right? And that, and a book, an idea, it's not going to replace the representation that we need in government. The question is, what does that representation look like? And look, here's what I want you to understand. I've said this many times too. The essence of our problem in this country, the core of our problem, the foundation of our problems is debt and corruption. Debt and corruption. No society has ever survived that. I don't know if I could say that safely. It's brought down many societies. Put it that way. Rome. What do you think it was that brought down Rome? Greece. Same thing. Drunk on the ability to create money out of thin air. Fooling themselves into thinking that it was never going to end. And it always does. Great minds, great civilizations in both cases. And the debt and corruption that we see today, right? Joe Biden saying that, you know, it was a big day for democracy won or something like that. And I say, well, did it? Because where we're at with this debt and corruption, neither of those are supported by the citizenry. And just because, you know, something hasn't been done about it for 30 years doesn't make it right. Just because we've allowed this debt to go on and on and on, just because we've allowed the Constitution to be trampled on and trampled on and trampled on, just because this has gone on and on and on and on, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it okay, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do something about it right now. And I think that one of the things that we need to begin to do is pointing out the complete hypocrisy between both parties. And start right now with the liberals. The Republicans, they didn't keep any promises at all that we brought in with Trump. Cutting taxes, that was the only one. So, here we are. We've got a country very divided. We've been divided before. We were divided during the Revolutionary War as much as Civil War. 100 or so years after the Revolution came the Civil War, the country was very divided again. Bitterly divided in both cases. People were killing each other on a mass scale. That's how divided. But we didn't say that the problem was the division. The division was the symptom of a problem. There was a disagreement on what? Freedom and security. Very much the basis of the conversation today. And the security issue, I'll come back to. It's very important when I come back to the message for Republicans. But the essence of what you're seeing, I know I'm using that word a lot, I don't know why, the political class has pitted us against each other, and it's created a convenient way for them to cover their fraud, their mismanagement, whatever you would like to label it. I mean, it's clear that the country is no longer of the people, by the people. You know, I was looking at something, they're calling the president a new leadership. The president, nor any other politician, is a leader in the sense of its relationship to the public. He works for us. The politicians work for us. They're to represent us. They may have their own ideas, capture us with those ideas, and we may send them off with those ideas. But they're there to represent us. They work for us. They don't lead us. That's not their job. We're gonna lead. This isn't a government that leads. This is a government that controls us. It's not how it's set up. It's all gotten backwards. We need to restore the correct order of things. Now, Biden provides leadership to the government on our behalf. Do you see? He's providing leadership in that sense. But this political class, they've worked so hard. It's so convenient. The damn Democrats, the damn Republicans. The Republicans are at it again. The Democrats. And look, we've been going around and around with this stuff. This, what Biden wants to do on immigration is nothing different than Bush wanted to do 20 years ago now. But you think he's going to give credit to Bush? We've got debt and financial mismanagement that's adding to the division, and nobody agrees with these things. Ask anybody if they agree with the national debt. You ask anybody if they agree with the national debt, how many people are going to say yes? Any? And, you know, controlling spending, by the way, in case you know, is a basic function of our representation. That's what the elected officials are supposed to do, is work to control the spending of government. And we haven't had a balanced budget in 30 years, with one exception, Clinton. Government's the only place where, you know, they walk up to you and say, give me your wallet. And you say, well, I'm not giving you my wallet. I said, give me your wallet, I'll give you $10, I'll give you $5 back. You know, I got $700 in my wallet, I'm not giving you that, you give me $5, I'll give you $10. All right. That's how these latest bills are. And you're fooled because you think, oh, the money's out. It's our money. They're taking on debt on our behalf and giving you back $5 out of your wallet. And you say it's ridiculous to give you $10. Oh, that's like a great deal. Don't make fun of me. I shouldn't be talking like that, keeping with my goal here, mocking people. Explain to me the rationale of how this all played out with the spending bills. Hey, where's the $2,000 a month thing? What happened to that? Why isn't that the first thing Biden's doing? I mean, the House had passed it. You had the Democrats there. Now you have Democrat Senate and the presidency. Where's the $2,000? Maybe that'll be next week. I don't know. I shouldn't judge too early. I'm being a little pushy, aren't I? So why this spending such, you know, I think we need to look at the real impact. This financial mismanagement and what it's really doing to the country. Have you ever seen family that has financial problems? Have you ever been part of a family? I bet you have. I bet you a lot of people. Right? When you were growing up, maybe when you were younger, and you have money problems. And you got a lot of other problems when you have money problems, don't you? All of a sudden, everything's a problem. What do you mean you need the car? You know, when you have one car in a family, you ever been through that in a modern family, trying to deal with one car can be very frustrating. Or one bathroom, right? You know, you don't have money. All of a sudden, and something breaks. You got one car and no money. What do you mean you got a flat tire, Billy? Damn, you know, and all of a sudden it becomes a huge deal. As opposed to, you know, the family that's got plenty of money and the kid drives the car and gets a flat tire and you call AAA and you didn't even know there was a problem. Except to maybe bring it up later to say, oh, by the way, that cost me $150 when you drove over the blah, 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 whatever the case might be. It creates a lot of other problems when there's money problems. It's a bottom line. The other issue that I think, and talk about coming full circle, but this disinformation that is that otherwise known as, I guess, news, they call it, that's become toxic to our society. Now, this is a careful issue when you start talking about government intervention. And I'm not so sure that trying to make laws to convince people in the media to act right is going to be real successful. I mean, for one thing, I don't even like the government's handling of NPR. I wonder right there how much that issue is creating the problem of fake news. And I'm not even just limiting this to fake news, the algorithms. But this disinformation, it's become worse than any drug. Everything I see anymore, you can like, this is a familiar pattern. Stop the secret algorithms. We could start right there. Ban them. It's affecting news. It's affecting elections. It's affecting people's lives. And it's those statements that I just made are supported by science. You've got a society unknowingly drinking this poisonous Kool-Aid that comes out of this. And the handling of this whole tech thing is really a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. You got people stepping into social media, those algorithms affecting news, search engines, messing with things, messing with elections, censoring world leaders. And our government, which is there to protect these liberties, instead, they've equipped big tech through 203 or 230 or whatever it is, helping the industry, not representing the people, not representing the interests of the people, but rather doubling down on something that is known to be very dangerous. This is a great example of how off track our government has gotten. There's seemingly nothing that we can trust with our federal government to handle. Why do we need another party then? The corruption in the parties have become radicalized. And the system doesn't work without citizen representation. A government of the people, by the people, meaning us participating in it, not for sale. It's the people's. These offices should not be bought and sold the way they are. And it's necessary to restore the voice of the people. And look, of course, there's concerns, but a third party would bring competition that would be good for the citizens. I think that there has to be an end to the corruption, restore the proper representation of the people. Term limits, election reform. To bring back the highest level of integrity. And on social issues, the government needs to stay out of our private lives and understand when it's time to lead, follow, or get out of the way. And, you know, for some of these so-called marginalized groups, you know, people are going to need to learn to deal with their problems on a societal level, not dragging government into every little thing. The immigration issue, it's another problem that's been ignored for 30 years. And the process needs to be reformed. There's no doubt. It's to come into this country shouldn't require a lawyer and thousands of dollars. And at the same time, you can't just walk in here. You need to know who you are, where you're coming from, what your background is. We need to get back to we the people. That's what made this country great. We made this country great. We the people are the ones that preserve freedom. Government will never do it. And there's no incentive for them to make these changes. The establishment is never, ever going to do it. They might fool you. Well, we're going to take on immigration. Get good luck. The decision right now for this country is with us. Don't be fooled into thinking it's any other way. They're fooling you. Oh, you can't. You can never live without this. And you're fearful of this. It's all a ploy, a very sinister ploy. The decision that we make, the inaction, well, it's going to have consequences. And so will the actions that we take. And let me tell you, as a strategy, and here's where I think Trump made a mistake, a strategical error, I should say. I think this country needs to be taken back, starting in the town halls, just like the beginning. And by the way, the liberals have a great advantage on this already. They've already been working it. But people need to start showing up and participating in the government where it's at. You know, it dawned on me, you watch, and I've said this before too, you know, you watch the news and you think that all we have is a federal government. You wouldn't even know that we have a state and a local government. And those state and local, they're not departments of the bigger, you know, government. That's not the way that works. They're separate entities. For good reason. This separation is there for very much of a good reason. The president isn't king. The president isn't CEO. It's not how it works. Not how the system works. And it's a mistake to think that it does. And you can go into the presidency and you may have some luck getting the office, but without that support in those other areas, it becomes very shallow. It becomes very difficult to defend, no matter what your position. And then we just saw that. You know, if we had 10,000 good patriots sitting on local governments, how would that change the landscape of what we see going on? News interviews, being able to participate in discussions. It would be huge. I think it would be great if we could develop a framework to discuss the philosophy, provide the building blocks to get involved in these things. I don't know if I have the resources to do it on my own. I'm talking about it right now. I would like to see something get moving forward. I don't want money to get into it because the money makes things, you know. And I've got some different ideas on how it could all come together, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But I wanted to lay out for you some of the ideas I had and what I thought it was that might move this country forward. But I'll tell you, it's a critical time. And, you know, the things that are happening right now, I think one of the things that Trump did, he exposed a lot. He exposed the hatred. He exposed the radicals. But he also exposed our society to a large degree. A very, very ugly side to our society. And I think we should be concerned about these things. You know, there was a shift. We went from churched to unchurched and, you know, people's definitions of things and the language, it's all changing. And that's unavoidable. It's going to continue to change. But what is that change going to look like? Who are we going to leave it up to? Are we going to participate in it or not? Are we going to have a voice in it or not? Every one of us that works and pays taxes and contributes to this country, we make huge, huge commitments to it. It's where we live. It's our livelihoods. It's our families. It's our communities. Wouldn't we want that to continue? Of course we do. Many of us are proud of it. And we don't have to be defending ourselves in our own country for being proud of what our country is and what we know it should be, what we know to be good. People killing themselves all over the world to try and get here. It's the only place in the world. You don't see people trying to get into China. And of course, you know, you have other places where there is immigration, Americans moving out of the country, but America has been the place that's been sought after over and over again. Why? That opportunity, that freedom like no other, Do we want to waste it? Do we want to watch it go away? Are there enough people that are going to stand up, get off the sofa, that will speak up, stand up, go get involved? We can run the towns, we can run the states, and if we can run the states, we can run the country. That's how that has to work. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you have any comments, I'd love to hear what you think about a third party. It's a crazy idea, and I know it's getting thrown out there. I know Trump was talking about it. I'm talking about it. Let me know what you think at ChristopherScottShow.com. Check out some of the videos there. There's one for New Year's. There's a video at the top of the page. Just made some updates, why we fight. Let me know what you think. ChristopherScottShow.com. It was great to have you. I'm looking forward to being back tomorrow. We're going to have a great year ahead of us. We really are. Don't be discouraged. President Trump laid the groundwork for some fantastic things. Let's not waste it. Let's capture this opportunity. Let's seize the moment. Let's make it a great year. At least make the best of it that we possibly can. God willing, I sure hope to be back tomorrow, and I sure hope to see you there. Make it a great day.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.